Welcome to
America's Cannabis Conversation,
where you can hear experts from all facets of the cannabis business as to what's happening in this exploding industry. Keep yourself informed. Join the conversation. Welcome to America's Cannabis Conversation. Quick news update. This is Dan Perkins. Threaten New Jersey. New Jersey marijuana sales could start just weeks after Election Day under a key senator's plan. If New Jersey voters approve a marijuana legalization referendum on the ballots next week, sales in the Garden State could get rolling at a record speed. A plan by one of the top lawmakers would allow the state's existing medical marijuana dispensaries to begin selling to adults over 21 within a month after the election. South Dakota, former federal prosecutor endorses marijuana legalization initiative in South Dakota. A former federal prosecutor endorsed South Dakota's ballot measure to legalize marijuana for medical and recreational use in a new ad campaign. California, marijuana multi-state operator Forefront enters $30 million sale-leaseback deal to pay down debt. Multi-state operator Forefront Ventures is utilizing a $30 million sale-leaseback transaction to rid itself of debt to the corporate lender. The all-cash deal with California-based Innovative Industrial Properties, IIP, involves the sale of cultivation and production facilities owned by Forefront in Washington and Massachusetts. IIP will then lease the facilities back to Forefront under a 20-year lease agreement so the Arizona company continue to use them. Our final story comes from Missouri, as a Missouri official predicts recreational marijuana legalization in the 2022 vote. The director of Missouri's medical cannabis program expects adult-use marijuana to be on the state's ballot in 2 years. Lindo Falker, a director of the state's medical marijuana program, told the Kansas City TV station that he believes legalization of medical marijuana was a stepping stone to full legalization. And that's your American Cannabis Conversation. Quick news.
Welcome back to the conversation. And joining us again is Gary Allen, the COO of New Frontier Data. And this program will air just before the vote in the House on the Moores Act about descheduling cannabis. And I thought I would like to speak to Gary about what his observations are about what's going on in Congress and what's happening around the country about deregulation and expansion of the market. So welcome back again, Gary.
Well, thank you very much.
Sure. So let's talk about the Moores Act and what your institutional vision is about what's going on there.
Absolutely. I'm bringing this real quickly. So listen, the Moores Act is obviously, it's designed to decriminalize and potentially not only decriminalize marijuana use and also rename it in the federal guidelines as cannabis instead of marijuana, but it's also intended to give the federal government and states the authority and the runway to annul those convictions and roll back those convictions for marijuana use. It's still pretty fuzzy as far as some of the larger possession convictions. It's also designed to put in some protections and pave the way for the Safe Banking Act and to allow the Safe Banking Act to actually be legal without the Safe Banking Act necessarily passing in and of itself. And so I think those are the two things that people are really focused on, you know, and the result of those things, marijuana being renamed in the federal government's cannabis sounds a little bit like splitting hairs, but it's actually not. And a lot of that is because of the inference that the word marijuana comes from, or that the word marijuana places on everything from the sale of it to a conviction because of the use of it. And then secondarily, really, once we have safe banking practices and acceptable banking practices that allow the industry to operate within the guidelines of our federal government, the industry is really set to explode from there.
Right. I would agree. I would say not disagreeing with you, but taking a different position. As I look at the Moores Act, I think that the most important part, not the only part, but I think the most important part of this legislation is the elimination of 280E. Most people don't know anything about 280E as it relates to the cannabis industry.
Right.
And just to tell the audience, 280E is a provision of the Internal Revenue Code that does not allow cannabis operators to deduct normal operating expenses against revenue. So the tax liability of somebody who's in the cannabis business is incredibly high. And as you said in a previous show, the idea of making a profit is dramatically reduced by the tax liability and the cost of not being able to deduct the operating expenses. So that's part of this new bill. I started before the Democratic convention interviewing people about this legislation, which was supposedly coming out in a week or so. And I would say to you, Gary, that a lot of the people in the industry that I interviewed were very disappointed at the Democratic platform when the platform committee voted almost 2-1 not to include any descheduling of cannabis. And now recently, in the last few days, I've been seeing what they call rumors on the Hill that people who were supportive of the Moores Act, Denny Hoyer, in the House, is saying maybe this is not the best time because of the proximity to the general election to put this issue on the table. Now, the proponents are saying it's still on schedule, but we've got people talking about maybe postponing this because of the November election. If it gets postponed and the Democrats lose control of the House, and President Trump gets reelected, then what's the likelihood of reform in the cannabis industry?
Well, I think there is a lot to unpack with that question. So a couple of things. One, the likelihood. So I think as New Frontier Data, as the CEO of New Frontier Data, and as Gary Allen, in my personal opinion, I think it's really important that we look at this through a very realistic lens. The idea that we're somehow going to get some national legalization and or descheduling in and or around the election is highly unlikely. The House is going to pass the Moore Act. We believe very, very strongly that the House is going to pass the Moore Act. We don't believe that it will come to a vote. The current Senate will not bring it up, and they will not take it up and for a vote before the election. And certainly, you know, with the predicted chaos that everybody believes is going to happen in the political climate between, you know, November 3rd and January 20th, it's just going to be overcome by events. And I think it's just a very it's just a very realistic look at what's about to happen. All of that being said, this is 2020, and I don't think that is a I don't think that that's a fact we can ignore. Meaning, really, really strange things have happened this year with Kamala Harris really going after this as the former. Attorney General of the fifth largest economy in the world, and somebody who has been criticized heavily on her enforcement of these laws specifically, her voice can't be underestimated, and how powerful it will be, especially as it growing over the next 60 days. So. We don't believe this is going to get out of the Senate at all. We don't believe it's going to get on the Senate floor. However, with the Biden-Harris ticket saying that they're really going to take this on, it may just do that. All of that being said, we also believe that there is going to be There is going to be a need for the safe banking portion of the MORE Act to be back into the Safe Banking Act, and we actually believe that may get through early in January. Or late in January,
wow.
Sorry, when they come back in session. And if that happens, obviously that will open up the market. One other thing really important to understand as well is that with the number of ballot initiatives in November, you know, we are very quickly getting to that 2/3 majority, right? And listen, I'm not going to, you know, even approach what a 2/3 majority means constitutionally. All I mean that is that we may very well be at that tipping point. That again, 2020 is 2020. And because depending on how many of these states actually pass, Arizona is going to be a really important one to look at. It failed in 2016. Polling looks super strong right now that it won't fail. The pharmaceutical companies who are mostly, to blame for or credited with the opposition succeeding in Arizona of that recreational legalization, they seem to be taking a sideline approach right now. So if Arizona tips, that's a very influential state that has a very large mature medical market that could very quickly activate a recreational market. New Jersey is a very large Northeast market, very important Northeast market that looks to be ready to legalize and legalize quickly. South Dakota, there are very key states that if they tip, then 40 plus states in the United States will have access. And that will just further bolster the fact that, I don't know if you knew this statistic, 98.3% of all American citizens live in a place where they can legally access cannabis, either medically or recreationally.
So with all that chaos going on, what do you think 2021 and beyond looks like in terms of revenue growth in the industry?
Well, we have very specifically. So we tend to be pretty accurate with our. We're looking at a little over 25 billion, just about 25 billion in 2021, right? A little over 20 billion mm-hmm. in 2020. We just a year and a half ago. We had projected that we had a projection that 2025 would be somewhere around 30 billion. We're now projecting 2025 to be somewhere about 36 billion. This is with our current market as it is. Now, if these states, these numbers will change dramatically. And if you don't mind, I'm not going to release those numbers on this particular program right now because we have not made them public yet. We're finishing up our modeling, but we do plan in the next 14 days. We do plan on releasing revised 2021 to 2025 numbers based on the states, a projection based on the states that we believe will go legal, and then right after Election Day, we will release a new one based on the states that did go legal.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Gary, we're out of time. We've been speaking with Gary Allen, who's the COO of New Frontier Data, a company that I kind of discovered and think is a terrific resource for us on the show. Gary, how can people follow the research and the things that you're doing?
Well, at any one of your favorite social outlets, the at New Frontier Data is the easiest way. info@newfrontierdata.com or sales@newfrontierdata.com. We have a number of newsletters. If you go to newfrontierdata.com, you can sign up for our Canna Week. We have podcasts. We're really accessible, and our staff and our team really enjoy talking to the market. So please come have a chat with us.
Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Dan. It was a pleasure.
Yeah. This is a very unusual interview that we had. Terrific interview with Gary. If you missed any portion of it, you need to go back to W420RadioNetwork.com, go to the archive section, and look for Gary and this interview. It's a terrific interview. So was another one we did. You'll find it extremely enlightening and discovering a company, as I did, who has tremendous expertise in the cannabis space. We'll be right back.
You're listening to America's Cannabis Conversation on the W420 Radio Network, AmericasCannabisConversation.com.
Hello, this is Dan Perkins for your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans, Tip of the Day. Did you know the unemployment rate for veterans is 12.5%? Because of the pandemic, the number of homeless veterans is increasing rapidly. In fact, there are waiting lists at VA shelters for people to come. Many of the veterans who go to the homeless shelters find themselves without decent shoes to go out and apply for a job. They come to the VA and they get health care, clothing, food, but they can't get shoes and socks. That's why we started the program. We are in our fourth annual Shoes and Socks for Homeless Veterans Drive. If you want to help, go to songsandstoriesforsoldiers.us and click on the Amazon button where you can order shoes and socks that are sent directly to me, and I will deliver them to the VA facility so veterans will get shoes and socks. That's songsandstoriesforsoldiers.us, Amazon button. This is Dan Perkins for your Veterans Tip of the Day.
Want to find out if cannabis can help your medical condition? It's time to hear from our cannabis doctor on call.
Welcome to the conversation and to a very important thing that we're going to initiate today. We have our doctor, Dr. Jordan Tischler, who is a specialist that deals with many different problems with people using cannabis in many cases to treat therapy. We are starting a segment that the doctor will be on a regular basis called the Cannabis Doctor on Call. And what I've asked Jordan to do is to look at all of the various ailments that the states say are appropriate to use cannabis to treat. And we're going to go in depth so that you can get an understanding of the issue, and then what are the challenges, and then finally, how cannabis might help you deal with the issue. So welcome to the conversation, Doctor.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Our first subject is probably the biggest issue for the vast majority of people who are considering cannabis, and that is pain management. Talk about pain management as a medical issue from your practice and in general, which if you would, please, doctor.
Sure. You know, the nail on the head. Pain is an enormous issue sort of around the world, certainly for Americans. We have data that suggests that of all of the issues confronting Americans, pain is sort of the number one complaint. And furthermore, what we understand is that pain is something where we're frankly not doing as good a job as we ought to be. And there are a lot of reasons for that, much of which have to do with the stresses of our society, but also have to do with the limitations that we have on what we have available to us as therapeutics. I think that our listeners understand that there are a bunch of over-the-counter type medications, primarily Tylenol, which is a medicine that sort of lives in its own class. And for many people, Tylenol can be very helpful, but for some people it's not helpful, and for other people it's contraindicated because of other aspects of their medical history, like liver disease. And so that's kind of one option that we have. And then there's a group of medicines called the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medications. So that includes things like ibuprofen, Advil, Motrin, and there's a whole bunch of them. They're sort of all sort of functionally the same kind of medicine. And again, for some people, this can be very, very helpful. Other people can't tolerate it. There's certainly increased risk of bleeding ulcer or kidney disease as a result of taking too much of those sorts of things. And so we have to understand that those are options, but they're not always going to solve the problem. And the problem is once you get past those two options, there really isn't much left. I mean, the answer is opioids. And as we have become more and more aware, opioids both have their place in treatment, but also come with substantial risks. And we need to use them wisely and not cavalierly so that we get the best benefit with the least risk, which is, you know, I'm going to say that a million times about all medicines, including cannabis. So when you really boil it down, there are sort of three choices for pain control. And yeah, you know, we can throw in gabapentin and similar sorts of medicines, but those have even more limited application. So cannabis really brings to the table of a completely different approach, and in conjunction with the medicines that we've just talked about, really provides a whole new vista of ways to manage pain for patients.
So we're talking to Jordan Tischler, our cannabis doctor, on call and in the house. And while we have a moment here, doctor, tell people in the audience how they can get a hold of you and your practice.
Sure. My practice is called InhaleMD. You can find me online at inhalemd.com. And when you go online, you can find that we're available by email and by telephone. We do telephone or telemedicine consultations throughout the world. So if you have questions, we're readily available to help.
Thank you. Let's go back to the pain issue, because pain is such a huge descriptor. It could be anything from an injury, a fall, a torn muscle, a damaged muscle, a sprain, on and on and on. There are so many things that can happen to us that can cause pain in our body. It becomes very difficult. There's the aging process, myself mm-hmm. included. Pain is such a huge word. I mean, we know from studies that as you and I've talked about, how older Americans who are dealing with the progressive pains of arthritis and rheumatism and all the other things are finding less and less relief and more problems with side effects of certain opioids or narcotics that just don't really do anything per se to treat the pain. And so they're looking as a group of people, surprisingly, a huge number of people in the over 50 market are looking for alternatives to the NSAIDs or the narcotics, and a lot of them seem to be turning to cannabis. What is it about cannabis that makes it a good painkiller?
Suffice it to say that we have in our bodies a system that's called the endocannabinoid system, and this is a very important and remarkably only fairly recently discovered system that allows for the management and crosstalk between many other systems that are key to our body function. So what this means is that when we have a series of problems like pain, which span sort of a range of different body functions, the endocannabinoid system becomes kind of the crucial connector. And so if we can get into that system using cannabinoid medicines that are derived from this plant material, then we can get in there and really shut down the problem because we can now understand the specificity of how this medicine works and where it's working. And so oftentimes people with severe pain are going to need opioids. And I think we've gotten to a really weird place right now where everyone, like your wife, is so afraid of them that, you know, that they will run the opposite direction. And I think that that's not so great either, because opioids are effective, and particularly in the acute setting, like a hip replacement. And, you know, when used judiciously and for a short period of time, are relatively safe. But when we start to talk about longer-term problems like the arthritis that you mentioned, where the evidence that opioids are helpful is more is less convincing, and furthermore, the time duration is such that the issues around dependence become more significant, then we have to think about what are our options. And cannabis is a pretty good pain reliever. It's not super brilliant. We can't sort of gild the lily here, but it is remarkably effective. And also nicely, it's not an either or proposition. So we can use cannabis in conjunction with the Tylenol or the non-steroidals and even with the opioids. The nice thing is that what we find when we've done the research is that when we're using it with people who have previously or currently on opioids, they actually need a whole lot less of the opioid to get the same level of pain control. So combining the two means you don't need to use as much of the opioid, and the risks from opioid are directly tied to how much you're taking. So if we're taking less, the risk is less. So this is really kind of a great combination to achieve best benefit with least risk.
We had an interview a couple of weeks ago, doctor, with a veteran from the Gulf Wars who was a Navy SEAL, was injured 9 times, had 9 surgeries, and when he left the Navy, he was addicted to opioids. And his family did an intervention and introduced him to a doctor who prescribed a cannabis treatment for him. In 60 days, he'd cut his opioid consumption in half. In 2 years, he was totally off not only his opioid, but all of his other painkillers, and cannabis was giving him relief that he could have a decent life and deal with his pain. What I'm looking at is I'm trying to figure out, and I've been meaning to ask you this question, and I keep forgetting to do it. You said just a few moments ago that this is, and we've only got about a minute, so this is a relatively new system, but it was there all the time.
Well, I think it's motor system, and we see the outcome of the motor system working. That's what I would call a primary effector system. It is something that does something very specific and actionable, if you will. And so we also have a dopamine surge system that controls our rewards, and we have a serotonin system that controls our mood. And so these are things where, you know, their primary action is kind of evident. The endocannabinoid system is what I call a meta system. It doesn't sort of do something like move your arm. It's the system that's coordinating between all of those other systems. And so its action is more veiled or subtle or hidden, you know, as a background player. And so it was really only because people started to look at THC and what it was binding to in neural tissue that we started to say, well, yeah, look, there's a receptor. Oh, well, there's a receptor, so now we have a system. What normally goes in that receptor? Oh, look, there's an endocannabinoid that binds to that receptor. And that's sort of the process by which you figure this stuff out, but it isn't sort of immediately obvious.
We've been talking with Dr. Jordan Tischler, and I want to give the audience a heads up that the next time you're on, we're going to talk about selecting a doctor and trying to figure out what is the right cannabis. But for now, doctor, tell them how we can get a hold of you.
Yes, come visit me online at inhalemd.com, or you can phone us. The number is 617-477-8886.
We'll put doctor's information on the website. And doctor, thank you so much for a very insightful discussion. And we're looking forward to continuing this exercise for a long time to try and help our people and your patients. Thank you for joining us today.
Lovely. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Dan Perkins for your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans, Tip of the Day. Did you know the unemployment rate for veterans is 12.5%? Because of the pandemic, the number of homeless veterans is increasing rapidly. In fact, there are waiting lists at VA shelters for people to come. Many of the veterans who go to the homeless shelters find themselves without decent shoes to go out and apply for a job. They come to the VA and they get health care, clothing, food, but they can't get shoes and socks. That's why we started the program. We are in our fourth annual Shoes and Socks for Homeless Veterans Drive. If you want to help, go to songsandstoriesforsoldiers.us and click on the Amazon button where you can order shoes and socks that are sent directly to me, and I will deliver them to the VA facility so veterans will get shoes and socks. That's songsandstoriesforsoldiers.us, Amazon button. This is Dan Perkins for your Veterans Tip of the Day.
This is Dan Perkins, and we're about halfway through today's conversation. I hope you have found the people interesting and helpful. In case you didn't hear all of the interviews in today's conversation, you can go to W420RadioNetwork.com after 5:20 p.m. to listen to this show. W420RadioNetwork.com. And now, back to the conversation.
Welcome back to the conversation. And joining us again today is an author who has a wonderful book that can help all of us, especially small business people, Russell Brunson. And he's got a fascinating background as it relates to working at e-commerce and websites and helping people grow their business, and especially in this time when we're trying to deal with the pandemic and how we continue to grow our business. Russell, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me back again.
So let's talk about your new book, Traffic Secrets, the Underground Playbook for Filling Your Website and Funnels with Your Dream Customers. Did I get it right?
Yep, you nailed it. That's the new book. It's all about, like you said, for business owners, how do you get traffic or people to come to you? And you know, I get the question a lot of people like, well, what is traffic? And you think about with a traditional store, right? There's a store out there and there's literally traffic. There's cars driving past and they see your store and they come in, or they walk, there's foot traffic, they walk past and they come in. And what we're talking about is just kind of the other traffic, which is online. Like, how do you get people and eyeballs to find you online? And that's what the whole Traffic Secrets book is all about.
So if I look at traffic in today's pandemic world, there are no cars on the street, or very little cars on the street, and there are lots and lots of shops that are closed that people can't go into. Mm-hmm. And so more and more of what's going on has to be done online, whether it's ordering food to be delivered to your house, mm-hmm. or whatever it is. Online is becoming more and more important. And I wonder what your thoughts are about how quickly the various industries are evolving to an online model.
Yeah, I feel like if they're not evolving, then a lot of them are either going to be dying, or they're going to be dead. And I think we've seen that so many companies who've gone under because they couldn't handle this, or the companies were smart were the ones figuring out, okay, how do I pivot? How do I change in this economy? Because you're right, like especially if you a lot of people try to go online and they put up a website, but then nobody comes to them, right? So it's like it's not like a traditional store. You put it up there and people will drive by and see you. Like, you got to go out there and actually figure out how do I get that traffic? How do I market to get people to me? And if you don't, it's scary. I got a buddy who owns a gym who always thought he was protected and fine. He told me after this, he's like, I'm trying to figure out now, if the pandemic comes back, or if there's a second wave, or all these different things, like, what's my plan now? And he's scrambling to try to figure out how to do workout, workouts from home and a whole bunch of stuff like that, so that, worst case scenario, that they're protected. I think that's the question on some people's minds right now, is how do we shift our business and get it online?
You say in your book, Russell, that don't wait for people. We were talking about traffic. Don't wait for people to come to you. How can an entrepreneur discover where the audience is congregating? Talk about that for a moment.
Yeah. So it's interesting. Like, the first question I always ask people is like, well, who is your dream customer? Like, I think a lot of times we just put up our business and like hope that the right people will come in. But the reality is, the first step you got to figure out who is the actual person you want. Cause if you don't identify who that is, you can't find them online. So for example, we have a friend who's a dentist, and she was, running ads on Facebook all over the place, trying to get people to come in her dental practice. And she's spending a ton of money. And I asked her, I said, well, of all the people you're showing your ad to, who are the actual dream customers, the people you want the most? And she thought for a little bit. She said, well, the people that are worth the most money to us are people who are doing Invisalign. Like, that's the highest profit margin, stuff like that. And I said, okay, well, let's like, tell me about like, what do we know about those people? And she said, well, I know that's how much money they make per year, and this is the neighborhoods they're in, and this is kind of what it is. So we built an advertising campaign that just targeted just those people and told them about how she offered Invisalign. We turned off all the rest of her ads, and she did that. And what's crazy is like, her ad cost dropped by 90%, and then she was able to get the exact dream customer she wanted. So the first question is, how do you get your dream customers? And the second one is like, now that I know who my dream customer is, where are these people congregating? And that's one of the other interesting things about the internet is that all of us, we group ourselves together online based on stuff we're excited by, right? So those of us who are interested in like fitness, we hang out on fitness blogs and websites. In your community, people are interested in cannabis, they're hanging out probably on blogs and websites and listening to podcasts and radio shows about that topic. And so if we know like my dream customer, man, they're here on this blog, this website, then our job is to say, okay, how do I get my message out in front of those people? Okay. If I can get my message in front of them, I can get their attention. I can pull them back to my website and bring them back online to where I'm at. So it's all about figuring out who's your customer, where are they at, and how do I get those people now? What are the hooks I can put out there to get them to come into my world?
Amazing. So let's use another example and see how you can help people.
Okay.
Let's say, you know, we've looked in our cannabis space, we've looked at what's happened in 2019. There was about a 60% decline in the value of equities in general. And starting off in 2020, just before the pandemic hit, that slump was continuing. And what the industry found is that there are a lot of people who own businesses who don't know how to operate businesses.
Mm-hmm.
They thought they were going to make a fortune, a quick hit, and now they're finding themselves in the nature and style to be able to run a business. And many of them don't have a lot of experience in running a business. They thought it was going to be pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
So how can what would you recommend a person to do today if they were saying, look, I think the decline in the cannabis business is probably over in terms of valuations, mm-hmm. especially when they saw what happened during the pandemic where they were considered to be critical and they were allowed to stay open. If you're saying, well, maybe we're at the bottom and now is the time to start. If you were talking to somebody about a startup entrepreneurial venture, mm-hmm. what should they be doing different today?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think, and I tell us with most businesses that work that are startups is like a lot of times we think about our business as the product we sell. But the reality is our business is the customers that we serve, right? So it's coming back and saying, okay, the first thing mm-hmm. is not going to be like where's my, like, how am I going to sell my product? First question should be like, well, where are my customers at? You know, before I start any business now, the first thing I do is I look for the customers. If I can find them first, like, oh, okay, they're over here on this website, or this is the blogs they're on. This is where there's an email list I could rent that has my dream customers on, you know, whatever those things are. I'm looking for those things first. That way, when I go and I decide to start the business and create the products and have all those things, I already know where the customers are. I'm not looking for them. You know, the wrong way to do it is to create a product and then go look for customers. It should be like, I found the customers, find out exactly what they want, and then go get them. I heard somebody tell me one time that the simplest way to make money in business is, he said, it's a three-step process. Step number one is you find a hot market. Step number two, you ask that market what they want. And step number three is you give it to them. As opposed to right now, we're like, okay, I create this amazing product. I got this product. I'm going to go and shove it down people's throats. It's like, no. Like, it's find the people first, find out what they want, and then give that to them. And so that's where I would start is really spending time doing the research. Like, okay, when I start selling this thing, where am I going to get the traffic from? Where are the people going to come from? And mastering that first. And then it makes business really, really simple. Cause now you're just filling a need that people already have.
So you're going to look for companies
mm-hmm.
that are in the business of serving customers that you would like to also serve. And you're going to co-op with them by running advertising through those companies on their email list, trying to get them to come to you.
Yes, exactly.
Is that correct?
Yep. That's exactly how it works.
Great idea.
Yeah.
So what's you know, I listened to what you said there, and on the surface, you know, I'm somewhat of a Pollyannish person, so it sounded like a great idea. Then my practical person jumps in. Why would they want to do that? Why would they want to sell advertising to their clients on your products? Why would they want to do that?
Yeah, some companies don't. Some companies, they have an email newsletter and they sell their products. But the majority of people who spend the time to build up a newsletter, their revenue stream is from selling advertising. And so what we do is when we start searching for these opportunities is we'll find their website. And on the bottom of the website, you scroll to the very, very bottom of the footer, usually there's a link that says like advertise with us or advertise here or media kit or something like that. You click on it and it'll take you to a page that says, hey, we have a newsletter that has 30,000 people, and these are the demographics, and this is how it works, and these are the ad costs. And so that's how they make their money. You know, they spend money to build the list up, and then they sell advertising. That's how they monetize, and that becomes their whole business for a lot of people.
So you could get a message out to 30,000 people for a hell of a lot less than you can try and build it on your own by simply buying advertising on somebody else's site.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Definitely faster. You know, long term, I think it's good to do both. Like, we always buy ads to build our own newsletters, our own email lists up. But if I can shortcut that and say, look, I could spend the next 3 years building lists of 30,000 people, or I could give that person right there $500 and they'll send an email to them immediately. Like, I would always do that for the fast traffic as quick as we can.
You know, we're talking to our guest, Russell Brunson, and we've been talking about all kinds of things about discovering where your audience is and how do you figure out where the people are and how they exist. And one of the things that's important to you and one of your passions is how do you throw out a hook to get people to come to your site? And tell us about that. What can we do? What can people do?
This is like my favorite part because it's just where you start being creative. And so I always picture my dream customer, right? And I think that they're sitting at home, especially during times of quarantine, and they're on their phone on Instagram or Facebook or YouTube, and they're swiping through, you know, trying to find something to grab their attention. And so our job as business owners is to figure out what's the hook, what's the thing I can put out there that's going to grab their attention just long enough that I can tell them my story and then push them back to my website. And so that's kind of what we do. And I used to think in the past that I had to go create these expensive videos or commercials, but the reality is actually almost all the ads we make for our company right now are I made on my iPhone. And I actually pay my kids. I literally pay them $1 per video that they create. And so my production per video is $1. And we just try to figure out cool things, something that's going to grab someone's attention. So for example, the other day we went downtown and we were walking past and in the lobby of a hotel, we saw this big green rhino, which was this random thing. And they're like, wait a minute. If someone saw that on Facebook and they're swiping, they would probably stop to think like, what is that weird thing? So we ran inside. I gave my kids the phone. I clicked record and the sound quality was horrible because it's in a hotel lobby. I was like, hey, my name's Russell Brunson. I'm standing next to this big green rhino because I want to tell you about the new product that I have. We made this one minute video ad. We took that, we posted it online, we showed it to just our dream customers. And so far that ad's been seen by over 1 million people. And it's just sold tons of copies of my book. And so we're always looking for like little fun things like that we can do to create that's going to grab someone's attention just long enough that I can tell them my story and then push them back to my website or into my funnel.
Terrific. So, Russell, how can people, I know they can get your book at www.trafficsecretbook.com, but how do they get a hold of you and your company?
Yeah, right now we're doing a special offer because it's launch week for the book. So we actually bought a whole bunch of hardbound copies. So you can get a free one over at trafficsecretsbook.com. And then if you want to learn more about our company, if you go to clickfunnels.com, all the information is there. And that's where they can find out more about us and get a hold of us if they need to.
Good. Thank you so much for putting up with the technical issues and joining us today. It's been a fascinating conversation.
No worries. Thanks so much for having me.
If you didn't hear all of this terrific interview with Russell, you can go to W420RadioNetwork.com and download this and his previous appearance at other shows to keep yourself abreast of what's going on in the cannabis and marketing industry. This is Dan Perkins. Thanks for joining us.
I guess we could say in the inimitable words of the classic rock band Chicago, does anybody really know what time it is? Our guest today in America's Cannabis Conversation sure does. He makes the 420 Waldo watches. Say hello to Barry Cohen. And Barry, the Waldo watches, you're getting lit. Tell me what this is all about.
All right. Well, basically what we did is our watch company, Time Concepts, has a few brands in it, underneath it, in the stable, so to speak. And as I was kind of observing the landscape of what's going on in our society today, I saw some causes that I felt deserved support. I realized at this stage in my life, I really hadn't given back, so now seemed like the time. And one of those causes was a desire to see federal legalization of medicinal cannabis for a number of reasons. Now, we've seen the states jump up to, I think it's about 40 states right now that have legalized on the medicinal side, and if I'm not mistaken, 15 on the recreational side. But on the medicinal side, the states are so far ahead of the Fed, and it's causing such problems in the area of businesses and the banking issues and so on. And it just seems kind of silly that the federal government hasn't yet legalized it. So we created a brand, 420 Waldo's, that has a little bit of the story of how 420 became what it is, the phrase that it is, which dates back to 1971, so a nice 50-year history there. But the entire purpose of the brand is very simple. With every single watch we sell, we donate up to 20% of the sales proceeds to organizations that are working to try and facilitate federal legalization for medicinal cannabis. And those two organizations that have gotten our donations thus far have been Normal and Drug Policy Alliance. But, of course, we leave ourselves open to other opportunities for donation. That's the purpose of the brand.
So you can have what I commonly referred to as conscious capitalism. You can go make a buck, but you can do a good thing with some of your proceeds as well.
Well, I guess that's true. And to be completely candid on this one, we're not even trying to make a buck. We make bucks on our other watch brands. Mm-hmm. This brand, its purpose is to try and affect change. I mean, at this point, I think everyone pretty well knows that there's a large amount of the population that's finding relief from medicinal cannabis. And interestingly, two groups, I mean, if we can't support these two, I don't know who we can support, is the elderly with arthritis and other conditions they have, and veterans. And veterans are a very large chunk of that populace that's finding relief from medicinal cannabis. Well, in my former brand, when I founded and built Luminox, we supplied a lot of military. So I spent a lot of time supplying military and law enforcement, and it just seems to kind of be serendipitous to now come full circle and to try and support them post-military by pushing for the legalization at the federal level.
Yeah, and what's so unfortunate is right now at the VA, if you have PTSD or chronic pain of any kind, you cannot be cannabis cannot be prescribed to you. So hopefully there will be some changes in the federal laws with the blue wave that's growing by the moment, and we'll see how that unfolds. So the Drug Policy Alliance and California Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, will be the beneficiaries of some of the profits, as you point out, for the 420 Waldo's watches. And I love the fact that you have the male and the female watches, and you gave them some cool names.
Yeah, okay. So, you have to be careful calling them men's or women's these days. So let's say the larger size and the smaller size.
Yeah, okay.
The 41-millimeter watch case, which is the larger size, is called the Bud Collection. The smaller size at 34 millimeters is called the Mary Jane Collection.
Yes, and I just saw the whole array of them. They're really cool, multicolored. They glow in the dark. And tell me about the glow factor, hence your moniker about getting lit.
Okay, so here I've done some consulting work for a British company called Visible 247. Again, my background is in Loom. I founded and built and owned the Luminox watch business. That business was all about a self-powered illumination that made it easy to see time in the dark. So Loom has kind of been my life, 27 years there. So this company, Visible 247, that was pioneering a new illumination technology, engaged me to help them with business development. And we went to over 100 U.S. companies to talk about how we could possibly add their illumination as a feature to products that already exist or develop other products. Working with these big companies is like trying to turn the Queen Mary. You know, they've got scheduled releases and they're out, you know, a year, 18 months, 2 years, and you just don't know when you fit into their mix. So I thought to myself, listen, the one thing I do know is I control my watches. So why don't I put watch dials, use this technology to create watch dials and get them out as soon as possible as another example of something to point to for the Loom technology. And what this technology is, it's the highest performing photoluminescence ever created in injection molded polymers. So the dials of these watches are injection molded polymers with colorants and with proprietary technology in it. The colorants give you the different dial colors, and they glow in a multiplicity of colors as well. So the technology was available in up to 22 colors and glowing in a myriad of colors as well. And because they glowed so well, we figured, hey, let's use the slogan for the brand, 420 Waldo's watches, get lit. Now, obviously, it's a dual entendre in that part of it is enjoy the loom in the dark, and the other part is, well, people get lit.
Yeah, and you got to know what time it is. And it, these things will charge in real quick.
10 minutes of any type of light. It's light energy we're talking about. So any type of light that can hit the dial for 10 minutes will yield about a 10-hour or more glow in complete darkness. Now, your eyes have to be totally dark adapted, but in complete darkness, you will see them glowing. And unfortunately, and this is a sad part, you know, the pandemic has had adverse effects on many. This British company, unfortunately, was a casualty of the pandemic. So they are no longer, but we do have the loom in the watches, and I've established a relationship with the factory that produces it for other opportunities where this loom might be desired.
Well, you got a very meager carbon footprint. Battery powered, your carbon footprint is minimal. What about the entrepreneurship, or if somebody wanted to get involved in a similar vein, how challenging is it to come up with a 420 moniker on a product and just try to enter that space?
All right. So there's a, I'll call him an opportunistic gentleman who must have seen the writing on the walls, and he registered 420 in the timepiece category back in 1995. So if you want to have 420 on any watch you make, you're going to have to work with this gentleman. He owns the rights, and we're working with him.
Okay, but generally speaking, I mean, you have the marijuana leaf on the watch itself, on the face, and what other aspects of it?
So just to, you know, for the amusement factor, if nothing else, you know, there's an index or a spot at every hour for you to see the hours. But at the 4 o'clock hour, we put a cannabis leaf, and that cannabis leaf is there because that's four, and it's also 20 minutes after the hour, so it's both 4 and 20.
Sweet. Well, I'm just curious, you know, in our day, we're kind of the OGs in the cannabis world. We've been around it a long time. All the taboos, all the stigmas, and now the social acceptance, and now the corporate acceptance. So just talk about the evolution for you as a businessman and as a connoisseur of cannabis.
Well, is there really corporate acceptance? Let me start there. Because we have presented this collection of watches to a lot of accounts, and we've been rebuffed by all of them saying, oh, I don't want to get into that cannabis thing. That could, no. And I said, it's a watch. It's not cannabis. You're selling a watch. Yeah, but it's a politically charged situation. Mm-hmm. I don't think we want to go there. So we essentially are doing 99% of our business off our own web store at 420waldoswatches.com. So, or at timeconcepts.net. Either one of them, you can find the 420 Waldo's watches. But so when you talk about that it's readily accepted, it's not readily accepted. Mm-hmm. That's the reason that we're trying to push for this federal law change. Because once that happens, then it will be accepted.
You know, barriers are being somewhat eroded, or there's chink in the armor, because in many of the cultures of our contemporary society, the cannabis world is, you know, just de rigueur. In others, it's still a taboo. So I think there's an evolution underway, and we've been around a long time, as I said, the OGs in this realm. But where do you see the future of 420 branded products and items of, you know, any nature?
Okay, so that's also an interesting question. I'm learning as we go here. So we got into a few dispensaries with the collection. And sadly, what we found is the people going into the dispensaries, they're looking for cannabis products. They're not looking for an accessory. Now, admittedly, we didn't cut corners on. These watches have a suggested retail of $150. We tend to offer promotions all the time where you can get 20 off, 25 off, 33 off, and so on. But they have not sold very well in dispensaries. And this tells me, you got to listen to the consumer. The consumer speaks with their wallet. And it tells me that they go to the dispensaries, not to pick up a watch. Now, if we made, say, a $50 watch, might that have been a difference? Yes, it might have, but that cuts against the grain of who I am. For me, quality is job one. If we can't make a reasonable and good quality watch, I really don't want to make it then. I would pass on it. And people who see our watch will say, in fact, I just got an editor today that received a watch that she's reviewing, and she said, I'm overwhelmed by the quality. I can tell right away this is a higher quality watch than I, way higher than I expected. So in the end, I'm kind of thinking this. I need to, if I want to really sustain this with watches, I'm kind of thinking I need to bring, create a collection of as high a quality as I can that can sell for $80. Why 80, you might ask?
Why 80?
Because that's 420s.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And maybe a signature edition with a, you know, a prominent pop culture endorser would be a good way to go.
Well, now you're talking about the seismic change in our world as to how products are built and accepted. In this day that we live in today of social media and influencers, the reality is if we had one or two significant influencers that caught wind of our watch, that got one as a gift, somehow had one, and gave us a little love on social media, I'll give you a couple that come to mind. Someone like a Seth Rogen, someone like a Snoop Dogg that are known to be in the cannabis space. Even some of these pro athletes that are creating cannabis collections. If one or two of these people would say, oh, dude, check out 420 Waldo's watches, that changes everything. Mm-hmm. If somebody's got a million followers here, a million followers there, all of a sudden everybody knows us, and it has the implied endorsement of a luminary.
Right.
And unfortunately, we don't know these people.
Well, maybe through our America's Cannabis conversation that we're having today, you'll reach somebody. Maybe Mike Tyson.
Another great one. would love to have Mike Tyson. There's a bunch of NBA players. I've seen Gary Payton, John Sally, quite a few of them that are engaged in the space of cannabis. Just a few kind words from any of these luminaries to create awareness would create an enormous difference in how well the watches are selling, obviously.
Yeah, a couple of former NBA stars. Al Harrington is big in the cannabis world. And Matt Barnes, who is out of Sacramento and a former Warrior NBA champion, interviewed him on our show. I think we may reach out to him for you, Barry, and see if we can make a connection. And we'll also link you to the W420RadioNetwork.com archive if you want to hear more or hear this interview again or look at some of our, well, we'll have some pictures of your watches up there. And your colors are like the rainbow.
Yeah, we got a wide variety of colors, that's for sure. And by the way, I'm a fan of Matt Barnes, always have been a fan of his. He was a key player on the Dubs in their day then.
Yeah, and we had a fun interview with him, and he's got his own, I think it's called Swish. It's his new brand that is launching soon or has launched with his cannabis world. So I think breaking down barriers is a key, and you know, hopefully you'll get an opportunity to do that with your 420 Waldo's watches.
I should also mention for you that 420, as I said, is in the company Time Concepts. And Time Concepts was conceived because over the years, having been in the watch business for so long, people would invariably say, hey, you know watches, would you make one for my brand? Make one for my retail stores. And we've done design development as well as product development for a number, 25 or so famous big companies and or retailers. So if any of your the people in your sphere of influence, like Matt Barnes with his brand or any of these other guys with their brands, if they'd like to have watches made for them, that's what we do. So we could certainly do that for them.
And tell me where we find Barry Cohn and the 420 Waldo's watches.
Well, you can find the watches at either www.420waldoswatches.com. You could also find them on our web store at www.timeconcepts.net. And if any of your listeners are interested in having their own watches made for them, that would be at info@timeconcepts.net.
Well, there's no time like now, Barry. Thanks for your time. Great conversation. Good luck to you. Keep up the good work. And sure hope that the 420 Waldo's watches start jumping off the shelves and off the storefronts.
Well, now's the time. Let's
you
hope
got
so.
It. You got it. Rich Walkoff with Barry Cohn. This is America's Cannabis Conversation.
Thank you for taking part in America's Cannabis Conversation. To hear this show in its entirety, or to hear any of our archive shows, log on to americascannabisconversation.com and tune in next Saturday at 4:20 p.m. for the next installment of America's Cannabis Conversation.